Turn to your Bibles to Philippians 4. We'll go ahead and start in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for preaching class. Thank you so much for this evening, for all the sermons. Please help fill me with the Holy Spirit to be able to help the brethren in their week. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Start at verse 11. The Bible reads, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." The title of this message this evening comes from the ending part of verse 11. It says, "Therewith to be content." We as Christians need to be content in our lives. Now, it is hard for some to find contentment because in every aspect, whether it's your home, whether it's your church, or whether it's your work, we can find reasons to not be content. And ultimately, to not be content is to, in a sense, covet that which you don't have. Because coveting is the sin of wanting something that you don't have, won't have, or can't have. It's not yours. The Lord was jealous for Israel's sake because Israel was his rightfully. Therefore, he was jealous. But covetousness is, you know, as the Bible teaches, that the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. So you could see why someone would lie, steal, cheat, and do these things for the love of money through covetousness. And turn, if you would, to Acts 16. We can find in our lives, in our personal lives, how we cannot be content. You know, let's say you're a child and you want to be an adult now. You know, are you content with just being a child? You know, your childhood only comes once in your life and then it's gone. And every parent laughs at that because they think to themselves, oh, if I could just be a child, you know, you miss your childhood. But children don't understand that, you know, you got to enjoy those times in your life. People who are not married may not be content with not being married. They wish to have a spouse or something like that. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to have a spouse, but you know, are you content with the way that life is going for you at the moment? Because contentment is being content with how things are currently, and that is the way things may always be. Somebody who's married and doesn't have children, are you content with not having children? Are you content with 1, 2, 3, 20, however many kids the Lord provides you with? Some people, you know, want a big family, but the Lord blesses them with 1 or no children. Can you be content with that? Is that all right with you? In your job, you may, you know, want the, there's a promotion coming up. You're in a career-driven job and you clock in first, you clock out late, you show up when everyone else calls in sick. You never call in sick. You go above and beyond in the task and day to day, week to week, month to month, and year to year, and the promotion is not given to you. Are you okay with that? Are you content for the situation that you're in? We need to learn contentment in our lives. And the Apostle Paul actually shows us an example of this in Acts 16, where had you turn, because being that he wrote down Philippians, he had to practice what he preached. He had to show us an example of him doing or acting content. And if you would, look at verse 22. This is the story of Paul the Apostle getting put into prison falsely. And it says, "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." Now, remind you, these people were just in prison wrongfully and beaten for a crime they were not really guilty of. "Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." And what was the result of Paul and Silas? "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." They were content. They were realizing that the things of this world were not worthy to be compared unto the things that are to come. That in receiving, you know, trials and tribulations, that they counted it worthy, and they were able to sing praises unto the Lord in the jail. And we know how the rest of the story goes, but if you would, we use a famous passage in this chapter in verse 30. You know, the jailer brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do?" In context of the angel cracking open all the jail doors, him ready to cut himself and to kill himself. As a result, he was not content, the jailer. He was ready to kill himself because he understood that these convicts or people who may be in prison, justly so, may take him out. And he is afraid of this angel. He's afraid of the judgment of God. And he, through fear, said, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That is the goal of us as Christian, is to show people liberty, true biblical liberty through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it just wasn't Paul that did this. Turn to Acts 5. The other apostles did the same thing. In Acts 5, we see an example of the rest of the disciples doing something similarly. Look down at verse 40, the Bible reads, to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beat them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they departed, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And what was the result of them realizing that it was worthy for them to be beaten for the cause of Christ? And daily and in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. They were content. They realized that the things that were happening to them, they were looking down the line. And, you know, we don't want people to misconstrue the idea of, well, let me go out and cause problems and tribulations. You know, you need to find contentment in your life in every aspect. Let's say your church. And turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As a Christian, you know, I know that in my life, I had to learn contentment. I moved here to Arizona to study to become a pastor, and I don't meet biblical qualifications, and I may never meet biblical qualifications. But am I okay with that? Is it okay that I may never be a pastor? Are you okay if you may never be a pastor, a deacon, an evangelist? You know, it's truly that our walk in faith is going to be different from your brother and sister in Christ. Not everyone is going to be the head. Not everyone is going to be the hand. There are different members in this body, and everything has a function and a need. You know, just like when you go to work and you overachieve at your work and you do all these extra jobs, showing up early, leaving late, to never potentially get the raise, to never potentially get the promotion. Are you okay with that? If you come to 3 to Thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, and then you also come to preaching class, you read your Bible longer than the average, you're studying another language, you're doing all the things that would get you to become a pastor, a preacher, an evangelist, or whatever, but you never get the chance to do it. Are you okay with that? I mean, the way up is down. We need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt us in due time. And we find examples of that in the Bible. But whether or not you get it or not, that's the thing. It's not that you don't strive for it. Striving for it is good. You should want to pick up your cross daily and follow after Christ. You should want to memorize more scriptures, do more reading, serve your church more than you can. But is it okay with just being not seen? You know, some people want their glory to be seen or their works to be seen. But if they're never seen, you got to understand, what's the saying? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? So you're better off for it, because we're going to be doing it in heaven forever in heaven regardless. So may as well start practicing it now, being obedient and walking into the Spirit. But if you would look down at your Bible at verse 20. But now are there many members, but yet one body. So we understand that the church is made up of many members, but it's one church, it's one body. And verse 21 says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand that I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You know, people all want to be a great man of God. And I've heard it said before in a sermon. I can't remember the title of the sermon, but ultimately, and it was referring mainly to moms and ladies, because, you know, moms don't get up here and preach. Ladies aren't to be preaching at the pulpit, right? But women are raising godly children. Now, one day a mom may raise a godly man to become a great preacher, to start a great movement, to get souls saved, and to become a full circle, great commission Christian, that they, you know, go and preach the gospel, baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded them. But no one maybe saw the mom in the daily struggles, in the daily spankings and teaching and the rearing and the love and the nurture and admonition of that child, but she has to learn contentment in her life, and she will get glory in heaven, and she will see a reward for her investment. But the world may never look at her and say, oh, what a great, look at all the great things she's done. She has to learn contentment. We as men need to learn contentment in how we are to serve God, and we should ascribe for more and ascribe to do better and keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. And we need to learn contentment so that we can better serve the Lord. Let's go ahead and bow our heads with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this preaching class. I just ask that you help everyone to get home safely and that we continue to serve you in all our capacity. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.